Good evening and welcome to worship. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Holy God, we've gathered here tonight to worship and to glorify you. Lord, we ask now that you might calm our hearts and our minds so we might praise you in all that we do. In Christ's holy name we pray. Amen. Be at peace and silence as you listen for the Holy One. Lamentations 3, 21 through 29. Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will wait for him. The Lord is good to those whose hope is in him, to the one who seeks him. It is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man to bear the yoke while he is young. Let him sit alone in silence, for the Lord has laid it on him. Let him bury his face in the dust. There may yet be hope. During this silence, allow God to direct you to a word or phrase from the second reading of the text. Lamentations 3:21 through 29. Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion, therefore I will wait for him. The Lord is good to those whose hope is in him. To the one who seeks him, it is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man to bear the yoke while he is young. Let him sit alone in silence, for the Lord has laid it on him. Let him bury his face in the dust. There may yet be hope. During this silence, you are invited to come forward to light a candle to signify a prayer intention or other understanding between you and God. You may also come to the kneeler to be anointed for healing for yourself or another. Lamentations 3:21-29. Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will wait for him. The Lord is good to those whose hope is in him, to the one who seeks him. It is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man to bear the yoke while he is young. Let him sit alone in silence, for the Lord has laid it on him. Let him bury his face in the dust. There may yet be hope. Lamentations 3, 21 through 29. Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion, therefore I will wait for him. The Lord is good to those who seek, whose hope is in him, to the one who seeks him. It is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man to bear the yoke while he is young. Let him sit alone in silence, for the Lord has laid it on him. Let him bury his face in the dust. There may yet be hope. There may yet be hope. It's a five-word sentence of remarkable faith in this scripture from Lamentations. The Book of Lamentations is a short five-chapter book of poetry that hangs out in the Old Testament near Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel. If you flip too quickly, you can easily just miss it and go right by it. Written by the prophet Jeremiah after the destruction of Jerusalem, it's a book of laments, of deep prayers of grief and sorrow, of wonderings of how God could possibly allow something so awful to happen to these people. It's a book of sadness and sorrow and despair. Lamentations goes by the Hebrew word for how in the Hebrew Bible, which in many ways makes a lot of sense. For it's a book that asks the how question. How could God let this happen? How could we become so sad? How can we possibly go on? And yet in the middle of the book, we get this scripture we've been reading tonight. We get these words of hope and love and faithfulness. How? How is Jeremiah able to proclaim that there may yet be hope, even in the midst of so much destruction and despair? How is Jeremiah able to proclaim that God is faithful, even in the midst of everything falling apart around him? How is Jeremiah able to proclaim God's great love, even in the midst of seemingly being abandoned by God? And how can we do the same? How can we proclaim that there may yet be hope to others? And how can we proclaim that there may yet be hope in our own lives? There may yet be hope. These are words we're called to proclaim to one another. Now, before we get too far in this idea of proclaiming hope for others, I want us to remember what the scripture says right before those words. It says, let him sit alone in silence, for the Lord has laid it on him. Let him bury his face in the dust. There may yet be hope. Too often in our lives, we confuse offering hope with offering to fix people. Our world tells us that when people are upset or sad or in sorrow, that we're supposed to fix them and make them feel better, that we have to work to make everything better. But that's not what's happening in this scripture. Here in the book of Lamentations, here in the book of How, we're taught that it's okay to lament, that those times of grief and sorrow, those are acceptable to God. That offering hope to other people doesn't mean that we fix people or tell them they have to feel better or make them cheer up. This isn't pull yourselves up by your bootstraps faith. This is wait on the Lord faith. So to offer hope to another is to help them wait on the Lord. This isn't easy by any means. That's why we try to fix people when we feel like that because it makes us feel like we're doing something. But that's not necessarily the best way to offer hope. We offer hope by staying with people in their lament. Now, this isn't easy. I was talking to some friends this week. I have two friends who are pastors in Michigan who are in the process of adopting a baby. And I was telling them just this past week, as I was thinking about hope, about how about a year ago when they decided to adopt a baby, it was so easy to walk with them because they had this book they had given us about adoption, and I had to fill out a reference to show that they could be good parents, and I could ask them about their home study and all that was happening. And then I started reading. They made a book list of books that they wanted their friends and family to read as they prepare to adopt a baby that they're pretty sure is going to be of a different race than them. So I recently read Roots for them in their adoption. I don't know if you've ever read Roots, but it's very long and it's not very exciting. But I felt like I was doing something. But I'm kind of finished with all that now, and we're only 6 months in the wait period, and they say the wait period could be 2 years. And I told them, I don't know what to do anymore. I don't know how to sit with you in this hope. It'd be so much easier if there was something that we could do. But that's not always the case. It's easier to try to fix than to sit and to offer hope, to sit and to wait on the Lord with another. I share this with you because you all know people in your life that are going through something, and it's not just easy to stay with them while we wait. The temptation is to fix, but I encourage us all to try to wait on the Lord. And while you wait for these people, be a part of their community of hope. For we can provide a community of hope when others need it. We can be the ones that gather and proclaim hope, that there may yet be hope in their lives. Gathering with each other is important because we take turns being the proclaimers of hope for each other. That's what Jeremiah is doing here for these people. And that's what we do when we proclaim hope for others. There may yet be hope. Those words aren't just true for other people. Those words are true for us. So when we find ourselves in times of sorrow or despair or grief, there may yet be hope for us as well. It's okay to be in lament. One time, many years ago now, I read an article about lament, and it was so good that I tweeted it, which was good because I could find it again this week when I started to think about it. The article, it ends with these words. Maybe we have lost the art of lament, where complaining to God is part of the deal. Maybe, rather than playing church and make-believe, a vital dimension of the spiritual journey is giving God an earful now and then. Maybe God can handle it. Maybe God likes it because it means we're being real and not fake. Maybe if you're angry with God now and then, you're normal. Maybe that's part of being the people of God. It's okay to lament, because at our most honest, lament leads us to wait for God. When we allow ourselves time to actually wait on God, we begin to saturate ourselves with the character of God. When we wait on God, we see that we're not in control of the good or the bad. When we wait on God, it frees us to be where we are in life. Waiting is never easy, but waiting is necessary. As people who lament, and more important, waiting is necessary as people who seek hope. Lament leads us to waiting on God, and waiting on God leads us to hope. Not a fake hope that tells us everything will magically get better, but a real hope, a hope that comes from God, a hope that is grounded in the truth that God is faithful, a hope that's grounded in the truth that God's love and compassion are greater than any despair or sorrow that we might face. A hope that is grounded in the truth that through the death and resurrection of Christ, our God has overcome even death so that we might have hope. There may yet be hope because God is faithful. There may yet be hope because of God's great love for us. There may yet be hope because God has not abandoned us. There may yet be hope because God is good. There may yet be hope because Christ came and lived among us. And there may yet be hope because Christ died for our sins. And there may yet be hope because Christ rose again. And there may yet be hope because we trust that one day Christ will come again. So we gather and we remember that last night when Jesus gathered with his disciples and he took bread and he gave thanks to God and he broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and he said, take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And how when the supper was over, he took the cup, and he gave thanks to God, and he gave it to his disciples, and he said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is the blood of my new covenant, poured out for you and for many for forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Let us pray. Holy God, we give you thanks for all those gathered here. Lord, we ask that you might pour out your Holy Spirit on us and on these gifts of bread and wine, that they might be for us the body and blood of Christ, so that we might be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. Lord, we ask that you make us one with each other and one with Christ in unity in all the world. Amen. Here in the Methodist Church, we practice an open table of communion. That means we don't believe you need to be a member of this or any church to receive communion with us this evening. We just ask that you come forward with a heart ready to receive the grace of Jesus Christ. We receive communion this evening by intinction. That means you'll be given a piece of the bread and asked to lightly dip it in the cup and receive both elements at the same time. We have a gluten-free option available if you prefer that. And I'll invite you to come as you're ready.
Thank you.
Because of his great love for us, our God is faithful. Because our God is faithful, there may yet be hope. So go forth with the hope of God. Amen.